What's up, everybody? It's John, Red Dragonthorn on the boards. Just coming to you guys today with a little bit of a primer on the new set. Want to really dive in. I'm actually driving down to record a high-level playtest game with Gabe right now and figured I might as well get some content out there for you guys. I know we're all pretty excited about this pre-Nationals release. So I just kind of want to talk a little bit about how I think the metagame is going to change and evolve in these couple of months before Nationals. I think last year we really saw the game kind of progress to a state of balanced and defensive heavy decks. People actually recognize that, hey, defenses have progressed significantly to the point that offensive heavy, which was kind of the staple standard for a very long time, has kind of just fallen out of favor. Most players were playing, you know, balanced. Even if they were aggressive, they still had substantial defenses in them. And then, of course, my deck, which, you know, didn't have an offense at all. So I really feel that we kind of took that to heart in our playtesting schedule this year and looked and said, hey, you know, what can we do so that these decks that really create NPE, which is negative player experience, that's a term that we focus on a lot as elders, these decks that are just really aren't very fun to play against, what can we do to help mitigate their power and make them undesirable choices for players? We don't want to make them completely unviable necessarily, but we do want to create that tension in, hey, you're not just going to sit back and roll over everybody anymore. So that was the goal, and we thought we were going to, you know, have an entire tournament season now where the metagame didn't really shift that much. Yeah, you know, Clay Crimson is kind of a big deal right now, but what tools does that really offer you against the, you know, typical balance or defensive heavy deck? You really don't have that much more than any other offense. Yes, you're super consistent. Yes, most of them are pretty speedy. And yes, there is some innate built-in sight access to those decks, but, you know, they're no different than any other offense at the end of the day. So it really isn't like it's going to shift the meta that much with what we did last year. So we really honed in and focused this year on powerful counters to defensive lock type decks and try to push the game back towards a state of more offense. Not necessarily a state of, hey, I draw 80 cards before you draw 60 cards, I win type stuff, where it's just how many draws can you get off as fast as possible. More, we wanted the offenses to be aggressively consistent. One of the biggest things that defensive have had going for them for a number of years is things like Gates of Hell, Madness, Philistine Outpost, Unknown Nation, things that allow them to get a second character into battle after their first one is removed and or generate a character so that they always have a block. So Philistine Outpost means even if you're running something like Territory Destruction, the Philistine defense can go into their deck and get somebody to block with. The Gates of Hell is much more strong in that not only can it go get the blocker that they need, it can essentially negate a battle winner by putting a second character into that battle after the offense thinks that there's won and making them extend the battle. So that's why balanced decks were so strong last year, is because they found the ability to win the quote-unquote war of attrition, where I simply have more resources to stop you than you have ways to get through me, because I force you to burn multiple battle winning cards to pick up one soul. So then if I just have a big number of characters left at the end and you've already played your Edict, your Dagger, your Angel, and your Grapes, you really don't have a whole lot else that you can do to me. So I'm just going to put that big guy out there and, you know, you're not going to be able to do anything. That was what defenses were doing last year a lot, the ones that were very successful. You also see those War of Attrition type cards. Magic Charms is one where it captures the two heroes in battle and removes them after a battle winner has potentially been played. You know, Unholy Writ is a classic example of, you know, winning that War of Attrition. Herod's Dungeon is an interesting one that doesn't really see a whole lot of play because it's not quite that War of Attrition style. You do have to do something before they take your character out of battle, but it is a great card that can simply sit there and force your opponent to modify the way that they play. So one of the things that we tried to do this year was give offenses that style of card where they can win the War of Attrition on their side. So we printed You Will Remain. It's a good covenant, and it has two abilities on it. The first one is, if your heroes are all removed from battle, if your last hero is removed from battle, you get to start another battle, put another dude in battle. So it's kind of that quintessential Unknown Nation Gates of Hell type card, except for the offense. So you get to extend that battle, get another hero in there, and force the defense to burn multiple battle winners protecting one rescue, which should push you into a state where towards the end of the game they don't necessarily have anything left that can stop you. So if you've got a big enough hero or just that one extra battle winner, you can get through and pick up the souls that you need at the end. We also really feel that alternative rescue conditions, alternative win conditions, are something that we like to see, but in a very specific way. We are, at the end of the day, a Christian game based on the Bible, and in some ways mirroring the real life struggle that every Christian goes through. So it's important to us that in our game, the idea of the win condition remains redeeming five souls. That said, we are open a little bit to alternative ways of getting those souls into your land of redemption, not necessarily just the hero BC evil character picks up that lost soul. So the first one that we're really going to look at is Enoch. Enoch, his story is in Genesis. He was a man that walked faithfully with God all of his days, and God rewarded him by not allowing him to die. He took him up to heaven, and Enoch never died. That's basically the key thing that we know about him in the Bible. We really don't know a whole lot. His story is very brief, and then he's mentioned again later in Jude. And basically all we know is, hey, he walked with God, God didn't let him die, and he was a prophet. Jude says he was a prophet. So Enoch is a blue-green, antediluvian, because he lived before the flood, prophet. So for his ability, we had, you know, a little bit of range that we could go on him since we don't know a whole lot about him. We chose to emphasize the facets of the story that we do know. We went with protect Enoch from discard abilities. He didn't die, so he's not going to hit your discard pile unless your opponent plays Stone of the Bez or something like that. Yes, we're game based in the Bible, but wonky things do happen. So he's protected from discard, and then if your opponent is soul drowning you, which is one of just the worst experiences in the game, your good dominance can target him as if he was a lost soul in your opponent's land of bondage, which means that you can play Son of God, New Jerusalem, and rescue Enoch, paralleling that Bible story of God, quote-unquote, rescuing Enoch by bringing him up to heaven, which in our game we represent with the land of redemption. So he's got that going for him, where if your opponent blocks one of those puny little guys and plays, you know, Suicidal Swine Stampede or Death of Unrighteous, all those cards that are really super annoying where you've got this awesome hero and then they block with a puny little guy and somehow you don't rescue a soul. Well, now you have a card that somewhat mitigates that, in that you don't necessarily need to wait for them to redraw souls. If all you need is one more soul to win, you can play Son of God on Enoch, place him in your land of redemption, and win the game there. So the last ability on Enoch is negate banned abilities, and we put that in play because during playtesting this year, we found this really interesting phenomena that there are so many prophets in Genesis that a lot of the heroes are blue-green, which really makes a deck style playable that, frankly, we thought might have pushed the game too far towards the offense. Creation of This World is a green Genesis enhancement. It was printed back before we got deep into color-based themes, and it searches your deck for every Genesis hero and bans them into battle. So it's a tough card to play because there aren't that many green Genesis heroes to play it on, and that's really ideally what you want if you want to get the maximum number of cards out of your deck with it. Well, this year, with printing another set of blue-green Genesis heroes, it became really consistent to play that deck, and a lot of people in playtesting had a lot of success with it. So we decided to add in counters on some of these blue-green heroes that, you know, would stop Creation of the World from firing. So Enoch gets negate banned abilities, so it's not going to work there. Abel is another blue-green prophet that we printed, and so we gave him protect decks from search abilities. That way, you know, the heroes can't even come out of the deck. So we've routed options against that, and that slowed down the deck. There are still going to be options to pull off that combo through things like Joseph, Jacob, Noah, all those blue-green prophets in the Bible are going to be able to do that, but there's, you know, going to be a few less, so it's not going to be completely consistent for you. So that's an option that you have in Enoch as an alternative resting condition, getting back to my main point there. The other one is also from his story. We're printing the Hall of Faith or Cloud of Witnesses idea in Hebrews chapter 11. So I know we've already covered this a ton in articles and whatnot, but I'm just going to reiterate, you know, we're printing all of these heroes that were mentioned in the hall and their faith enhancement. So Enoch's faith enhancement is also an alternative rescue condition where it puts a hero into your land of redemption to count as a lost soul. So what this one does, because Enoch didn't die, we printed a card with a place ability that when your hero would die, instead, it gets to go to your land of redemption. Now, you can only play this card on cloud heroes. So this is going to be for pretty much this set only, because we're really not going to revisit the cloud concept because we've printed everything from it. So it'll be interesting to see in future years where the metagame goes and whether or not cloud offenses and this card are still a thing. I think this next year, we're really going to see tons of people playing this cloud because there's so many different fun ways you can do it. I think that's one of the other biggest things that we really focused on was keeping the decks, I'm not going to say viable, but yes, viable and a lot of alternative options to them. There's not just, oh, I'm going to play these five heroes because it's just obvious this is what the players want me to do. It's, hey, I have a choice between this hero and that hero and this hero, and what if I want to use these two heroes together? What cards can I build around those? There are so many different ways that you can build a quote-unquote cloud offense that I think the term cloud offense is probably going to describe a majority of offenses that get played this next year. And yet we will still see a ton of variance in deck types. So getting back to Faith of Enoch, it gets placed on a cloud hero. And if that specific cloud hero is discarded by an opponent, by their special ability, so no going out and choosing your own evil character to kill him, no Christian martyring your own hero, none of that stuff. Your opponent has to make the conscious decision that they are going to kill that guy. You get to discard Faith of Enoch, remove Faith of Enoch from the game. It was a discard for about half of the playtesting phase, and then we changed it to remove because we realized that it was pretty easy to recur it, and we thought that might be a little strong. So you remove Faith of Enoch from the game, and you rescue that hero instead. So those are just a couple of ways that we've created to help mitigate the idea of defenses extending battles. If the defense kills your hero with Faith of Enoch, you still get to rescue a soul. If the opponent plays in the battle card with you will remain, you still have a chance to rescue a lost soul that turn. If your opponent plays Death of Unrighteous or Suicidal Sign Stampede, you still have the opportunity to rescue a lost soul with Enoch. So we feel all three of those cards really help push the game back towards a state of balance where the offenses aren't necessarily helpless to what the defense is doing. And that's really what our goal was, is last year it really felt like defenses were dictating the terms of engagement. Yes, the offenses are the ones asking the questions, but it felt like more often than not, the defenses had all the answers, and they sometimes had ways to, you know, present threats of their own through adding characters to battle. So now the offenses are again really the ones that are going to dictate the pace of play in how they enter battle and how they are able to redeem souls. Another big thing that defenses have had going for them for a couple of years now is the ability to remove multiple heroes from battle in a way that the offense can't stop. So it was a counter that we introduced because banning offenses were extremely powerful and all the rage. You know, Martin won Nationals with a Fight with the Numbers banning deck. Quote unquote, the deck from a couple of years ago was essentially the same thing, just in a different manner, where it was coming at you with combo after combo of two or three super powerful heroes. And so for a number of years, these banning offenses have been super strong. So we printed Scattered when we printed the 1026 and gave it, you know, a ton of different brigades access to it. It's four colors, which means that it can be played in a ton of decks. And then we took that a step further and printed, you know, Fearfulness and Abandonment and all these other And if there's more than one hero in battle, you lose type cards. So that's made it really hard on offenses to handle because there's so many strong CBN defensive battle winners that target more than one hero, and there's just not that many options on offense if the defense decides to ban against you. So that's a way that they're able to win the War Attrition as well. So this year, we're kind of giving offenses those same tools. You'll notice that's a common theme. Defensive have had these tools for a couple of years, and now we're giving them to offenses to balance out that power dynamic. So we're printing Faith of Samson, which is another one of those Faith of enhancements. And Samson was a bad, bad dude. He killed people, lots of them, in myriad numbers of ways. He was an awesome warrior for the Lord, and he just couldn't be taken down no matter what. It doesn't matter how many people you threw at him. So with his enhancement, he gets to discard all male evil characters in battle because time after time, he fought the Philistines and killed all those dudes. So he discards them all. And then, as a bonus, if your opponent had more than one evil character in battle, that's a cannot be negated ability. We also did the same thing with Barak. His Faith of Enhancement, Faith of Barak, not Obama, you know, from the Bible, that dude, gets to discard all evil characters in battle if there's a female hero in play. The Barak-Deborah story is really interesting. Barak was an Israelite commander, and Deborah was the judge of Israel at the time, and so they worked really closely together. So that's why it requires a female hero to be in play. He also has ties to Jael and Jael's Nail and that story. So there's just a lot of cool stuff going on with Barak and the way he's portrayed in the Bible. So his faith enhancement allows him to defeat multiple characters and that be CBN if there is more than one character in battle. Barak's faith enhancement also allows the opponent the opportunity to withdraw an evil character, representing when Barak routed Sisera's army and sent Sisera running into hiding, only to be later killed by Jael. So that's another aspect of his enhancement that we represented in allowing the opponent to get one of those characters out of battle. The other thing that really allows defensive heavy decks to thrive is the ability to have multiple active artifacts. We noted this last year when Areopagus plus Shrine, Madness on an artifact pile, having Household Idols on Areopagus, having Magic Charms active on a Magician, having a lampstand or, you know, Holy of Holies in your Herod's Temple or Zerubbabel's Temple or Solomon's Temple. There's just so many myriad number of ways to activate artifacts. And that is somewhat of a problem because artifacts are extremely powerful cards. They are not going to cause you any hand clogs. They get to sit on the table. And there are a large number of them provide very powerful effects, typically for the defense. Household Idols helps to counter ever-popular banning things just as much as those enhancements do. Having Magic Charms or Unholy Writ active, you can have both of those active in addition to another artifact. Magic Charms on any Magician and Unholy Writ in High Priest Palace if you're playing a Sadducee or Pharisee defense. So there we have, you know, two more artifacts that are defensive in nature. We also have Holy of Holies, which, while it feels offensive, is actually more typically used as a defensive artifact in that it enables certain combos like Wandering Spirit, Trembling Demon, stops your opponent's Moses and things like that from coming through and doing tons of damage. So all of these artifacts are able to be active and then still have an offensive-oriented artifact or just another defensive one activated as well, having something like Darius Decree active on your artifact pile. So these myriad number of ways to activate artifacts are increasingly difficult for offenses to deal with. You only get one destruction. You have Captured Ark, but that gives the opponent a choice, and it can only be used twice. So if your opponent has one artifact or two artifacts that are really, you know, causing you a lot of trouble, which a lot of the artifacts can do, you are going to be in a lot of hurt. So what we tried to do this year was give a lot of options to counter artifacts. So one idea that we had is Thorns and Thistles, which we actually got from a contribution to the boards from a player. Josh Nitt from Wisconsin posted a set of cards on the boards, and I looked through it, and one that I really liked was the idea of deactivating opponents' activated artifacts. so I took that idea and I kind of found a verse in Hebrews that really worked with it and added a couple of other concepts onto it and just changed it around a little bit. So he was the inspiration, and then I kind of came up with the ability. So Thorns and Thistles deactivates all artifacts except for one in both players' territories, except for Thorns and Thistles. So you can't use Thorns and Thistles to deactivate everybody else's artifacts and then activate whatever you want. Then, while Thorns and Thistles is active, which is going to be if you choose to activate it, you negate characters and territories, which is also a big deal, and it really helps offenses a lot. And you also restrict players to one active artifact. So you get to deactivate, you know, the four artifacts that your opponent has activated, and then on their next turn, they only get to activate one. They can pick the strongest one that they want, obviously, but they still only get one, as opposed to reactivating all of them immediately. So that's going to be a really big benefit for offenses, I think. The negating character and territories, we've introduced a ton of territorial class characters, and the ones that are really good are typically the defensive ones. Priest of Zeus is splashed into a lot of decks because he punishes draw. Well, he's, you know, he's kind of being interrupted, but if he gets played down after you have Thorns activated and you leave it active, he's not going to be doing anything for him. The new Moses that we're printing is a super strong territory class character, while Thorns and Thistles is going to negate him. God of this World is a really strong anti-draw mechanic. Thorns and Thistles is going to negate him. Ephesian Elders is really good in a straight clay offense. Thorns and Thistles will negate that. So all of these general type territory class heroes and evil characters, where they're not characters you actually necessarily want in battle, you're just playing them for their effects. Thorns and Thistles are going to help counter those while not having the huge drawback of Come with Death. Come with Death is a fantastic card. It also negates all these territory class characters. The trick being, it also negates them in battle. Thorns and Thistles doesn't do that, which means you still get to use all the abilities in battle that you want while stopping any opponent's territory class stuff that they're trying to do. So I really feel this card's really going to, you know, shift things in that offensive direction and stop your opponent from really abusing the ability to have multiple active artifacts. A couple other cards that we printed to help with that are Plunder. No, sorry. Not Plunder. So we debated printing a card called Plunder, and then at the end of the day, we changed the name to Treasures of War to give Babylonians a little bit of a boost in that there is a character that can recur Treasures of War. Treasures of War is a reprinted card. Gave it a completely different ability, but we kept the same title so that we would have a character that can search for it to give a little bit of a power boost to a Babylonian-style defense in that now they have the ability to deal with a ton of artifacts by recurring that card. So, it's a territory class enhancement that is kind of like a Gamaliel speech for artifacts. You place it in your territory, and then whenever you need to, you get to discard it to negate and discard an artifact or the last activated artifact. So this gives you a counter to previously uncounterable artifacts like 4 Drachma Coin, Darius Decree, Samaritan Water Jar. All those artifacts that discard themselves when used, you now have a counter to, because you can discard the last activated. Even if it's no longer in play, you can use this card to negate and discard it. This is going to be kind of huge for the game, because those artifacts are really strong and really popular. So this is really going to force players to consider the best timing to use that artifact and the best timing to use that counter to them. So we also printed that same ability on a card, Paying Taxes, in another set of brigades. So both of these cards are 3 brigade cards, so we wanted a lot of access to them. So we found cards that worked for multiple civilizations, if you will. So the Treasures of War is pale green, brown, and crimson, representing the 3 nations that plundered or received tribute from Israel. So you've got your Babylonians, your Assyrians, and your Persians. And then we put the ability on it to tie it back into the brown aspect, that if you have a brown king in play, because there were Persian kings, so you get to have that be cannot be negated, which helps against Moses and other territory class negating things. Then we gave Paying Taxes to gray, black, and gold or the three evil civilizations that apprehended Jesus and dealt with that in your Pharisees, your Sadducees, and your Herods. So that's kind of where that all is all coming from there. So both of those cards are really, really strong counters to artifacts, which is something the game has needed for a long time. It's also really cool that we're introducing ways to handle the quote-unquote uncounterable discard for benefit artifact. The last artifact counter card that we have in this set is Faith of Moses, which is white clay, because all the faith enhancements are half clay, and allows you to negate an artifact. It's not territory class, so you have to do it in battle, but it's still going to allow you to take care of an artifact if you need to. Another thing that has become somewhat problematic recently is placed enhancements and territory enhancements, specifically those that end up placed. And so a lot of them carry really powerful effects with them. All of the Fruit of the Spirit enhancements from, you know, the early church set, all of the Armors of God from Persecuted. We've got the classic Abomination of Desolation. You have Chemosh, isn't played as much, but it's still pretty brutal when it starts working. Arresting Gethsemane was a super important card to me personally last year. So all of these cards are just kind of starting to add up, and we just have so many things going on outside of the battle phase. And so we really wanted to provide some counters to those cards to push things back towards, hey, I'm going to go into battle, you're going to play enhancement, I'll play enhancement, you'll play enhancement, and may the best man win type stuff. So to do that, we created a couple different ways to counter these cards. You've got Faith of Abel, which can shuffle an evil card. You've got the Cloud of Witnesses is a great one. Anytime you make a successful rescue attempt with using a cloud card, be it a hero or an enhancement, you get to shuffle an evil enhancement or a demon. But specifically here, we're looking at the evil enhancement. Moses is going to negate territory class enhancements and all placed enhancements that are placed before he goes down. He'll come in and start negating those after the fact. So we've got a ton of options there. We also have the Lost Soul. We nicknamed it the Destruction Lost Soul. You can name it whatever you want. We just kind of felt that was appropriate. When you put it in your territory or into a site, you get to discard a place enhancement, good or evil. So that gives you two shots at taking out a Lost Soul. And it's when it's put in your territory, not when it's drawn or anything like that. So you can use the Exchange Lost Soul from Persecuted Church to go get it. And if your opponent uses Barnabas or like a new Rahab spy combo or something like that to search it out, it's still going to trigger for you. And we felt that was pretty important. As we increase the number of ways to deal with soul drought by giving ways to search out Lost Souls, we really want people's Lost Soul abilities to still work as much as possible. And so that's where we come with, you know, the win put in territory type wording that we see on these cards. So, you know, those are all really good options for dealing with place things. There's a couple remove place enhancements. Sins Forgotten is going to remove place enhancements from the game. So that's going to deal with even things that are protected from discard, like Arrest or in Gethsemane and Abomination of Desolation were frequently last year protected by Stoic. Well, if you remove it, you know, it's only protected from discard. So that's fine. You can shuffle it underneath that. There's a lot of ways that you can get rid of these enhancements now that aren't necessarily discarding them. So I think that's going to be a really good thing for the game, pushing things back towards that battle phase. The last thing that we really decided to focus in on this set was sites and how players interact with them. Sites for a long time have been a very binary thing. And what I mean by that is there are games where sites completely take over and shut out your opponent, and you basically didn't need anything but your seven sites. And then there's games where your opponent has, you know, all the access that they need, and your sites do absolutely nothing for you. Or, you know, you're playing red sites and your opponent happens to have red, or something like that. So it's binary in that aspect, and that some games is amazing and some games is terrible. It's also binary for the player playing against you in that either they have the ability to access your sites or they don't. And even if they have ways to access your sites, if you have ways of handling them, it's going to be a very negative play experience for your opponent. So we really want to create a large variety of options against those, and we're still working towards that, and we'll continue to do so in the future. But a few ways that we came up with this year were the new access option in Salem.
This is one that we're pretty excited about. A common way for site defenses to deal with access is when your opponent places a multicolor site in the battle, it's pretty easy to remove with cards like Aiken Sin, Joseph in Prison. Basically anything that takes all cards in battle and discards or removes them is really good against access sites because that access site is in battle. So with Salem, we really wanted the access to be granted from outside of battle. So the way that we did that was we said, when making a rescue attempt, the owner of the hero gets to place a card from hand beneath deck to grant heroes in battle site access. So it's really cool because it actually works for both players. So you can't really use Salem as a lock card because your opponent is going to be able to trigger it whenever they need access to your sites. So it really is a true site access card, even though it's only a single brigade site. Now, that being said, it still has some pretty good application for being single brigade. For instance, one of the best plays, in my opinion, with Salem is to put the Color Guard Lost Soul in it, since it's single color, and now all of your evil characters in territory are going to be protected from Blue Brigade, which comes in handy because I think we're going to be seeing a lot of floods going on this season. I think we're going to see a lot of the Flood Survivor theme. There's just a lot of cards for it in this set, and I think people are going to be pretty excited to try that out. So I suspect that it's going to be handy to have that built-in protection through that option, while not also having to play another card to get yourself access. A couple other ways to deal with sites is a new Joshua, red and gold, and kind of like the old Joshua, he gets to take a site. However, there's no condition on this one. He just straight up takes a site. That's what he does. The old one, he had to win a rescue attempt to get it, or maybe a battle challenge, I can't remember exactly which. But point is, it wasn't, you know, immediate and perfect for you right when you needed it. This one's just going to straight up take it for you. So I think that's going to be a really good option for, you know, decks that are able to play Joshua. And the nice thing about that is I think Joshua's going to be highly accessible to a number of different decks to make him pretty prominent. The last option is a really exciting Lost Soul. We like placing counters on Lost Souls because while they are necessary cards to have in your deck, they are somewhat easy to handle, either through rescuing them with Heroes, Son of God, Baron, or exchanging with them with the Exchanger Lost Soul or a couple other options on characters like Nebuchadnezzar, so that you have that ability for yourself. So we like placing counters on Lost Souls and powerful counters like negating banned abilities, like discarding territory class and place enhancements. So this Lost Soul that we're talking about right now is super strong. It's an idea that we got off the boards a couple of years ago, looked it up and found it, and it, when it enters play, removes all opponents' Lost Souls from sites, and then it restricts players from adding Lost Souls to sites. So basically it's a site access card in that you get to immediately get access to all their Lost Souls that they already had out, and any future turns until your opponent manages to handle that Lost Soul, they don't get to put those Lost Souls back in sites. So that's a really, really strong counter against a true dedicated site deck. Now, all that's not to say that defenses didn't get anything this year. They got a lot of fun cards, but really we wanted to give a lot of their tools that they had to the offenses. I mean, they've got all sorts of cool, fun new characters in, you know, Doeg, in King of Sheik is going to be really fun for a Philistine defense. You know, they've got the hero evil character options with Joab and King Saul really enhancing that brown theme. Mikal and Shami are both fantastic brown evil characters. So they got a lot of really solid cards that are going to breathe new life into defensive themes that really, you know, haven't been touched on recently because we were so New Testament focused for so long. So we really focus in on the Old Testament themes of the people that, you know, fought against these Cloud of Witness heroes, these Hall of Faith heroes. So there's going to be a lot of good options there. So all that being said, where do I think the metagame's going to go? What do I think you need to be ready to see? And what decks do I think are going to do really well this year? So I guess for starters, I don't think a defensive heavy site lock deck like what won Nationals last year is going to be a good choice this year. I could be wrong. I just feel with all of the site counters, all of the place enhancement counters, and all of the territory class counters that we've printed this year, that deck is pretty much a relic in a museum at this point. And honestly, I'm completely okay with that, because that was just not a good deck to exist in the game. I think in a couple of years, it might make a resurgence, depending on what kind of counters people are still playing, but definitely not this next tournament season. You probably don't need to be worried about that. I think you can still play the same deck that you've been playing all tournament season if you're not inclined to go get the new cards. Are there new cards that you want to have in those decks? Yes, I think there's a couple Lost Souls that are really strong. The Sight Remove one, for sure. The Place Enhancement discarding one. And perhaps even the Negate Opponent's Banned abilities. Those are all really strong souls that I think deserve consideration for deck slots. I think you probably want to consider the new Dominance, but I don't know that you necessarily need them. And so I really feel like, unless you're going to go heavy into a Cloud offense, you really don't need a whole lot of cards from this new set. You can play a straight up Clay Crimson deck this year after the set is released and be fairly successful. That said, I do think there are a couple of Cloud deck options that are going to be really strong this year. First off, obviously, White Cloud. I've been talking about it on Land of Redemption for a while now, and I really feel like that's one of the strongest decks that I playtested, simply because it's so coherent with all its pieces. It really flows together really well, and it presents you a lot of strong options through the various Faith enhancements and the characters that it uses to play them. It's got some of those built-in counters to what things were doing last year, mainly through Moses, who counters so much. Moses is an incredibly strong hero. It also plays Faith of Rahab, which is a great counter to Sights, a great counter to Evil Fortresses, even things like Gates of Hell. So that's a really strong card there. The defense flows really well. It's kind of an Esau and his animals type idea, along with some more traditional Crimson options there. I really think that Crimson is still a super strong defense. You definitely want to be considering that as an option when you look to formulate your deck for this season. Hypocrisy gets around Moses. That's really strong. You've got a lot of options for characters. You can go New Testament, Old Testament. You can go mixed. You can go demons. You can go beasts. You can go animals. You can go straight humans. There's just a ton of options. Plus, it gets access to Treasures of War, the new artifact counter, which I think is a really strong card that you're probably going to want to play. I think that's one of the few cards from the set that if you're going to play a deck from quote-unquote last year, or this year pre Cloud of Witnesses, that's probably a card that you still want to find a way to get your hands on and include in your deck, either paying taxes or Treasures of War, depending on what defense you're playing. If you're playing something gray, black, gold, you're going to want to go for Treasures of War. If you're playing something brown, crimson, pale, green, you're going to want to go for that. Nimrod is another really good card. Nimrod the Mighty, as we've started to do a lot of subtitling on cards, I think is an option that you want to look at if you're anywhere in pale, green, or crimson. I'm not saying you need to go out and buy a complete set, although my buddy Travis would appreciate that, but I do think there are some cards you're going to want to get your hands on probably right away if you want to be successful in this coming tournament season. I really do think we're going to see the game shift back towards more aggressive offenses. I'm not saying we're going to be in an all-out speed war necessarily, but I do think that if you're not ready to win the game early and often, you're going to be in trouble just because of the various ways that offensive have to attack and re-attack and the strong battle winners that we've given them this year. I think there's a number of viable options to counter either Clouds or multi-brigade setups in the defenses that we printed this year through Sisera's Oppression, through Sisera's Army, as well as cards like Broken Covenant, which is going to let you draw up to three max based upon the number of brigades that the opponent is playing. Those are all really good options for you there. And I just really feel that enough people are going to be playing Cloud offenses, you're going to want to have something that helps you to control what your opponent is doing as far as brigades go. Shifting back to the offensive side a little bit, I just want to mention, you know, other things you can do with your clouds. You can play a blue-green cloud either with or without flood survivors. Both of those are really viable offenses. Blue-green without flood survivors, you're going to play things like Jacob, Joseph, potentially Enoch, and maybe even Noah too. Just get another green guy in there. It gives you access to a lot of the powerful green enhancements, search, provisions, Faith of Enoch, as well as a couple other things in there. So that's a really good option for you that's somewhat quick. You obviously play Isaac and Abraham in that deck as well. You can play the red gold cloud, which is another one of my personal favorites. It kind of plays very similar to the deck, where you get Moses, really powerful hero. You get Joshua as a red gold judge. You get the Barak Jael Deborah combo going on there. It's a little card intensive on that side, so you don't necessarily need to include that. But you can play like Rahab and Captain and have a couple banding chain options, as well as a couple just straight up combo-ish type things with that Barak Jael interaction. So I think that's a really good option there. That also gets you a little bit into silver with Angel Under the Oak, Captain. You could potentially play the Angel of the Winds in that deck, since there are a decent number of cloud heroes there as well. Just going to get up set up pretty quick, and then you can play a couple like silver terror class enhancements if you don't end up playing Moses, or if you decide that you want to play the old Moses to take advantage of playing those strong terror class enhancements. And I think that's one of the great things that we did this year with this set, was we gave you options. People always complain about the viability of various things and how much variety there is in the game. I really think this year, even though we are so coherent in the theme of the set, in the cloud offense and in the cloud opposers defenses that we printed, those two, the offense is all, you can play any two cards from this set offensively together in the same deck and it works. Literally, pick any two, I don't care what they are, you can find them in the same deck. I think that's awesome. So I feel like even though it is so tightly knit, you can branch out in so many different ways off of that offense. You can build a deck around Joshua, around Moses. You can build a deck around Joshua and Moses. You can build a deck around Enoch and Joseph. There's just so many options that you can do, and I really feel like that's fantastic for the game. And so I really feel like we're putting it into a good place. I'd really love to hear your guys' thoughts on the matter. Go ahead and share them in the comments below. Shout out to Land Redemption and Three Lions Gaming, and I hope to see you up at the next tournament season.